Hello there. You are tuning in to the 88th episode of Audible Read Walk. This is Nina welcoming you. You know, the British citizens are stereotyped as some people are people who start talking about weather and they talk a lot about weather. So of late, I have realized that we do that. While they are talking about the heat wave, we are talking about cloudy days and the rains, which are quite unprecedented. We have weird weather. Summer splashes are not uncommon, but what is uncommon and increasingly common is the increasing number of cloudy days. Even a decade back, summer times in Tamil Nadu were characterized by strong scorching sun, in between some rain splashes for 2 or 3 days at a stretch as August rolled in and a southwestern monsoon set in other parts of the country. But soon after, it would be bright and sunny again. Not anymore. We may be getting some more rain than usual, but what is more striking is the lack of sun. We seem to be perpetually overhung. In another life, I used to live in a place called Blacksburg. Due to its hilly and cloudy weather, often people called it Bleaksburg. Blacksburg for me was plenty bright, but looks like Bleaksburg has followed me. Jokes apart, it is a real issue for those of us who live off-grid on solar and those who wanted solar and renewable energy options, even as a hybrid. Clearly, the number of cloudy days throws off conventional estimate of how many panels you would need for a certain amount of energy. And if you go to any meteorological department's shared data set, the number of cloudy days is not even there. If you look at it, much of our lives are oriented towards the sun. At its core, how much sun and of course water dictates what we do, can do, how we live, and what we eat. It reminds me of the Pink Floyd song, "Set the Controls for the Heart of the Sun." One of my favorites, and it's so true. That is the title of the talk today. So, in this context of the podcast comes the question, what do we eat? We know that nature, the soil, offers us seasonally an array of nutritious food that our body needs. Tradition and practices in pre-mega agriculture days allowed us to explore these carefully and make a selection that we could eat. It needs discernment, the knowledge of why we eat when and how we need to pre-process. All these are to set our controls to the heart of the sun, to generate health and well-being while being kind to the society and the environment. In my podcast, in my posts on social media, via my coloring book series, even though only one of the three planned has been printed till now, and through my projects, is to explore, learn, and convey this: why we eat, when we eat, and how we pre-process in a manner that is possible in the current times, of course, with a fair bit of intent on our part. It is sometimes so convenient to give in and not to question and believe in the package that says sustainable, green, organic, and biodegradable that we do not question them and explore the nuances. We need to. It reminds me of the phrase, the eater eating is eaten. I love that phrase, such a loaded one. Sri Aurobindo writes that when he translates Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and explains that in his own way. On a side note, you can search the phrase, the eater eating is eaten, and read out his writing. It's amazing. So our discernment says that the things that we are or were used to eating in this pre-monsoon season, we still can, but we need to watch out what the weather is like. If too many cloudy days, then eating wild weedy greens are not such a great idea. We can still eat some greens from the climbing creepers and trees for now, including leaves of gourds and trees like sesbania, which is agathakere, moringa or murungakai, and occasionally Indian coral tree or Erythrina variegata, locally called Kalyana murungai or mullu murungai, referring to the thorns or mullu that it has. If you are like me and enjoy an occasional trip to the local market, then you would notice that we are phasing in from pre-monsoon to the monsoon, and the greens you will find in the market are limited, with more emphasis on the gourds, the banana stem, the banana flowers, etc. Not much of the greens that were still around even a few weeks back, like the pulichikere or the greens of the green leaves of the rosella plant, and even the several types of amaranthus are available now. Some of them are, but really not much. Even things like Solanum trilobatum or Turuvalai, Solanum torvum or Tarkiberry, or locally called Sundakkai, their supply is clearly dwindling. Supply or demand, I don't know which one, but I think both dictates one or the other. Dwindling is also the supply of mangoes and even jackfruits. So now the seeds are being sold. Looking at them, I remember that I have saved a stash. Little digressing from the topic here, since you know I mentioned jackfruit and they are just awesome, especially the seeds. When I first ate the roasted chestnut, the real good ones, it reminded me of roasted jackfruits, jackfruit seeds, or even the boiled ones. They are lovely. Traditionally, we put them in dal or lentils and make a curry with other greens. But I have tried making hummus and they come out really good. I checked out the benefits. Looks like the seeds are rich in dietary fiber and B complexes of vitamins. Due to their high fiber content, they help lower the risk of the heart disease, prevent constipation, and promote weight loss. Jackfruit seeds also contain resistant starch, which controls blood sugar and keeps the gut healthy. Truly, what is not to like about them? Now, back to the market. A traditional market, I mean. You know, you can find astringent but sweet jamun or Navalparam. Scientific name is Sigeagium cumini. And some amount of Ichamparam or the Phoenix silver striss are still around. By the way, thanks to my friend Vijayalakshmi Kinhal, who did her PhD, I know that there is a type of Ichamparam that grows wild, often around trees and palms, that are bushy and have fruits that are initially green, then turns red and eventually turns dark. The fruits are sweet with a large bit. It is a favorite of the kids. Children love them, of course, but also many critters. And I had a funny dog, a mutt, who used to love eating these, fruits, ripe ones, on her walks. She was not particularly fond of walking, but I think she was. She went still to find this, these fruits during the fruiting season. This plant is called Phoenix pusilla, which is endemic to this region. Amazing, it? Amazing, isn't it? They grow all around us and we hardly notice them. So catch on Ichamparam before they are all gone until the next season. But there is a leafy, weedy green that grows, and unless we are completely inundated in a questionable water or are experiencing extended cloudy times, we can still eat. Guess which one? They do not come to the market. These are the leaves of Sepenkiranga or Colocasia esculenta or Kochupata, as we call in Bengali. Incidentally, in Bengal, sag or shag usually means greens. Colocasia is known by the name Kochu, but Kochu shag usually refers to the long stout stems of Colocasia plants that are eaten and not so much the leaves. However, those who have access to the plants swears by the leaves also. Just one plant growing somewhere near us in a little watery place. Nothing astounding, but when you think of colocasia, rich in minerals such as calcium, phosphorus, iron, and vitamins like vitamin C, thiamine, riboflavin, and niacin, you name it, it's just loaded with all the goodnesses. What benefits does it do to benefits does it have on our body? Plenty. It is energizing, helps control weight and sugar, improves vision, and boosts the immune system and blood circulation. Wow. And that is amazing that this plant that has been one of the most ancient plant that has been that and that have been used across the world. We use it, but so does people in different continents. Each one of us may use our own special recipes and delicacies, but somehow it ties us together. Living in a city dedicated to human unity, somehow that thought was very special. As I took a walk in the yard to try to figure out what, if any, I could eat some, get some wild greens, given the weather, a healthy growth of colocasia, which I had once planted and now it has spread, waved at me. So here we go, a very simple recipe. Pick fresh colocasia green. Take the leaves, wash well, and chop them up. If you want, you can add some amaranth greens or even Malabar spinach as well. Remember, if you add Malabar spinach, your curry will become slightly slimy, which is not bad at all. Total washed, chopped and packed amount would be about 2 to 2.5 cups. And take a ping pong ball size of tamarind and soak it in a little warm water. If using tamarind pulp, you'll need about 2 tablespoons or a little more as per taste. Take a handful of dried or absolutely fresh but skinned jackfruit seed. The outer white skin can be peeled off, revealing the brown coat inside. If you were to only boil the jackfruit seeds fresh, I would have said go ahead and boil them with the skin and then take off the skin once boiled. But here you would be boiling it with the greens, so it's better to take the peel off now. Put the greens and the seeds with not too much of water. Can add 1.5 cups of water and add more later if necessary. Bring to a boil and cover and cook with 2 teaspoons of salt. This is another important thing while cooking any weedy green. They are often naturally salty, so always adjust the salt at the end. Once boiled, add the tamarind pulp, let them cook for some time, and then blend them up roughly. Now you will need the spices of your choice. I had added jeera, turmeric, garlic, ginger, green chilies, and some tippali or pipal longam, yet another weedy plant that is original and indigenous pepper that grows in plenty here. In the past, I have used vadagam, a wonderfully dry spice blend that you can find in South India, or freshly ground garam masala, or even good rasam powder and curry leaves to spice. They all come out wonderful and different. So you can actually, you know, make this several times and yet it won't end up being the same dish. Try and find your own mix for the colocasia green. The spices can be added to 2 teaspoons of sesame or mustard oil heated. You can use other oils or ghee. Add ginger, garlic, and then the rest. And then when it's, you know, fried up a little, then you add the blend of greens and tamarind. Let it cook for about 5 minutes in medium low flame. Switch it off, let it stand for a minute covered. And then enjoy this with the millet chapati, millet bread, locally found. Yes, you can find locally made millet bread nowadays. Local rice or chapati or naan. What a meal. Try it. With that note, I'll end today. See you next week. Until then, stay well and stay safe.
This is Oroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.